Hey you, how's it going? My name is Ruby Price and you're listening to the 25th episode of Fresh From The Scene. On today's show, I'm speaking to the one and only Ben Langford Bass, currently performing under the moniker of Bleak Soul and former member of As It Is. There's links in the description to everything you need going forward, and if you enjoy the episode, please do give it a share or even a review. As a side note, I also released my very own EP today. It's called Cynical and you can hear it on all the major streaming sites right now. So to get on with some existential meditation, here we go with episode 25 of Fresh From The Scene.
You're listening to Fresh From The Scene with your host, Ruby Price.
Welcome to Fresh From The Scene. Today's guest is the one and only Mr. Ben Langford Bass, a.k.a. Bleak Soul.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. How are you doing?
I am doing as well as anyone can be under the circumstances. So I can't complain too much. I'm healthy and, still have a roof over my head. So
two things, I would definitely consider, people lucky to be still having at this point. So, thankful of both of them, me and you, the same.
In a way, I have like a lower bar for like general contentness with life now after the past year. So, just like the bare minimum to be content.
It certainly put a lot of things into perspective.
100%.
Absolutely. So for those of you who are, listening and unfamiliar with who you are, who are you, Ben, and why have I got you on my podcast?
Who am I? That's a deep question. Who am I? Still working that one out. But in general, people best know me from being in a band called As It Is. And I departed very amicably in 2019, coming on for 2 years this year, which doesn't feel like that, I can tell you. It literally still feels like I played my last show like yesterday. But now I am a solo artist and I use the name Bleak Soul. I've been kind of steadily putting new music out into the world. It's been good. So yeah, that is who I am in terms of this context.
In this context. And speaking of new music, you released a brand new track, Learning to Cope with Nihilism, last week. Great song, really enjoy it. Getting like 90s post-punk, early noughties, like alt-rock vibes from it. Tell me about how this song came to be.
Nihilism was really the first track that I wrote after I put out Existential Meditation, and it came about, there's still quite a while, it was probably about 6 months. I think that was like one of the first part of lockdown. I was super productive and I did and made Existential Meditation in like 2 months, and it was like super productive having the lockdown. And then I put it out, and then afterwards I was just like, I don't know, had a really creative dry spell. It happens, but everything just felt like super pointless because there was seemingly like no hope of things getting better at that point. And then I kind of like woke up one day and I started talking to more people and suddenly I was inspired to write. And what my way of getting out of those creative blocks a lot of the time is I will just like go through my voice memos on my phone. It'll just be me mumbling something. You can't even decipher a melody in some of them, but they're allegedly there. And I go through and I'm like, right, have a clear out. Is there anything that I want to like progress? And there was this one thing that I'd written. It was basically, it was almost the same lyrics. And it was like super folk kind of song, super quiet acoustic song. And as with the way that I work, I just keep adding layers. And then eventually it ended up being this like loud kind of grungy song, seemingly out of nowhere. It was a super stripped back acoustic song. And I'm sure I will put out a version that is like that, that is more authentic to how it was written. But no, I always like to just like, I always like to play with different sounds. I go through any song tends to get written as an acoustic song, and then I just play around with kind of what, not necessarily what genre, but what kind of sound I want that song to have. And that approach always just stemmed from me having like the firm belief that any good song is also a good song when it's at its bare bones. So that's how I like to approach my writing with that. And yeah, I think I wrote and recorded this in December, and I absolutely hate sitting on music. So having to wait and put this one out properly, I wish I could have just like made it and dropped it, which I will do with future stuff. So
yeah, like I know what you mean about like waiting on to like songs. I've got a song coming out on Friday that I've had like locked in for about 3 or 4 weeks now, and it's just like, even that, as someone at my level, it's just kind of like, no, I want people to hear it. I want people to hear it, you know. Yeah. Let me start working on the next thing, because, you know, this is done. And it's just, it's unbearable.
Yeah, it's a tough wait. I mean, I still can't complain too much. Obviously, like, you know, previously I'd be having to wait like sometimes 6 months after a record was finished before it came out. So I can take 2 months. That's not too bad.
Yeah. But yeah, I was watching the video, which is also fantastic, by the way. And like, I was watching it thinking, like, I want to know who made it. And then it gets up to the end, and it's like, video, Ben Langford Bliss. I'm like, wow. So yeah, if you got any inspiration for that, like, how did that come about?
The inspiration was basically, what can I do myself? Because none of the studios are open. I don't have a live band. I'm not a videographer by any means. So I was like, I'm gonna buy a green screen, and I'm just gonna have a play around. So I set it up, and I taught myself how to use Premiere Pro in 2 days to be able to edit, because I only previously knew how to use iMovie, and that was far too limited for what I had envisaged for the video. So I kind of took inspiration from those old school iPod ads in terms of the visuals, but mainly I think I just wanted to get across that essence of like performance, because I've never performed any of these songs live. I've been missing performing as well. It was just a fun way for people to see that this is something that I want to be in a live setting. Obviously I can't clone myself, so probably do a mixture of like acoustic shows, and I do want to put a live band together. That is something I really want to do. So yeah, I just wanted to capture that energy really that I felt like the song deserved within my 2 days learning new software experience.
Well, I say this as a videographer, you did a really good job, and it was hilarious seeing you rocking out in a cardigan.
Yep, I'm wearing it today, so can't get me out of this cardigan at the moment. So yeah, it's definitely my favorite item of clothing that I own at the moment.
We've all got them, and I think, like, you know, it's that time of year where a cardigan is just something that, like, you know, you look at and you're like, I could definitely wear that today.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. But I'm also one of those people that will wear those kind of things in summer as well. So, you know, I'll be on the beach in black skinny jeans and a cardigan still. So,
I mean, that's the beauty of a cardigan though, isn't it? Like, it's got the openness, so you can just have it open.
Yeah. This one is very thick, to be fair. It's been a really nice addition to my winter wardrobe.
So let's talk Bleak Soul. Obviously it's a moniker. Like, what are the origins of Bleak Soul? Why did you choose it? You know, if you want to be known as something else, why was it Bleak Soul?
That's an interesting question. I've in essence always, since I was like 13, 14, and I started doing music, and I bought myself like a little 8-track old school recorder. And I've always kind of done like solo music. I just never put any of it out into the world. And even then, I'd always make myself little album covers with names and stuff. And I've been through some absolutely, do you know what? I have a draft tweet about it. I might just say it here. Of all the like terrible, terrible project names that I've had for myself. Like I once, it was the one that was closest to ever putting, I was so close to putting stuff out under it. And then as it is kind of took over my life. And it was called Beads Bees, which is an awful name. And I did it because it was BB. It was like Ben Biss. But it was also a quote from Arrested Development, which was my favorite TV show. And I look back at it now and it had an exclamation marks as well, like super scene. So I've always wanted to use another name. I've never wanted to put stuff out under just my own name. I don't know what that is, whether it's some kind of self-consciousness about how my name reads.
Nihilism, perhaps?
Maybe.
And how you've learned to cope with it?
Something to do with that. And then I settled on Bleak Soul. It was funny, actually. I was looking through my notes app the other day and I found a note where I was like writing down options. And I think the first one I ever came up with was like The Bleakness. And I was like, yeah, it's cool. It kind of sounds like a metal band though. And then Bleak Soul just kind of like, it was one of those things that I just woke up and it was there and it made sense. In As It Is, what made As It Is work was the balance between mine and Patty's writing styles. Like I'm always writing super dark things, super depressing things, because my favorite artists are all like Elliot Smith and Nick Cave and all these like super somber, melancholic artists. Whereas Patty always has this ear for melody that I've never known anyone to have, and writing really catchy things, and like the balance between those two. So calling myself Bleak Soul kind of made sense, because that's, in any group of friends I've ever been, I have always been the most nihilistic, existential person in that group. So I think it just kind of summed up my outlook on the world. So, yeah.
So building on that, obviously, it's been nearly a year, I think it was, since Existential Meditation came out. Obviously, you've had like about that amount of time to, you know, establish Bleak Soul and all of that stuff. So do you feel as though now that you have, you could even take it like to an extra level and be like, you know, as extra as you want?
Oh, 100%. That is what I am doing. So I'm putting out this song and there'll be another single coming soon. And they're both relatively, not to demean them in any way, but they are relatively like accessible kind of familiar songs that because I do write those kind of songs as well. But what I've been working on at the moment, and is actually, I'm not going to say finished. I still need to like mix it and add some final touches, but in essence is finished, is a super abstract album. It's like, I'm going to drop two singles that people are going to really like, and then I'm going to drop an album that's going to alienate absolutely everyone. But I kind of figure that's going to be my music industry model for the foreseeable. Like I like listening to a lot of like soundtracks, or like my favorite song at the minute is this song by The Microphones. It's like a 44 minute long song, journey of his life. And I think I'm just now becoming comfortable just really pushing my own boundaries of things. And also beyond that, being comfortable with what I just inherently write. So I don't like to impose any kind of rules on any set project that I'm doing, but I do have one rule for my next one, which is absolutely zero like vocal editing or pitch correction or anything. Like it's just going to be like super raw, like all my favorite records. I'm aware that I don't have a particularly pitch perfect voice, but that's going to kind of, I think that adds quite a lot to the atmosphere of the record. So yeah, I'm definitely going to be getting a bit weirder with everything. So, but I think, I mean, everything I do is very true to myself, but this one especially is just really creating my kind of favorite record.
And I feel like that's something that you want to do when you are making a record. Like it should be, you know, it should be everything you want to listen to. It should be everything that, you know, you enjoy. And if it's going to be your favorite record, then you are releasing your perfect record?
I know that I would absolutely love this record. And that's really, at the moment, that's all that kind of matters. You know, I don't at the moment have to write anything with the idea that I'm going to have to play it live to X amount of people. It's nice not having to think about that at the moment. Like, how's this going to translate in a live setting? I'm like, I will just work that out later. And I already have ideas about that. I feel like anything that I write, when I get a live band together to play it live, we're just going to kind of rip the songs apart and start them from scratch. And we will work out what Bleak Soul is as a live thing. Because I always like that. One of my favorite bands is Eels. And there's like, you can pick one song from them and you can find five live versions, and every single time it's different. It's different instrumentations, different arrangements. And I really love that. So I think that's something that I'll definitely try and like incorporate.
I was about to pick up on that as well. Like, by not having that set live structure, every show is different. You know, every show has its own atmosphere, and every single time you play a song, it's going to be so much more special than it already was because of that individuality. And, you know, it also then kind of like promotes, even though that's obviously nothing like what you're actually aiming for, yeah, it promotes people, you know, just going to different places to like see you because they know they're going to get that different experience.
100%. Yeah, no, I think that's just like the beauty of like the live show, and especially having missed it for so long now. You know, I've missed just being in a room and like playing music with other people and collaborating. Like, as much as I'm super kind of content just writing on my own in this room, it is something I miss, and I do miss the spontaneity that comes with that.
So, you know, let's talk about the last EP, Existential Meditation. I remember listening to you on Sapnin when that came out. You said you recorded it on a 2012 MacBook Pro. Was that is that what you recorded Nihilism on as well?
Yep, that is still what I am working. Shout out to, as it is, sound guy Matt for ripping apart my MacBook and putting new hardware in it so that it actually runs like a better laptop. Yes, that is what I use. I have a very, very minimal setup. I've never been particularly like a gearhead. You know, I've never been like nerdy about guitars. I just like playing them. You know, I have one mic, I have a one input audio interface and a MacBook from literally almost 10 years ago and a MIDI keyboard. And that's kind of everything. I tell you what actually has been a game changer is I've got a full size piano now, and that has really helped with my like writing, because I really like to write on the piano, and I didn't have that when I was doing Existential Meditation. So that's a nice new addition.
Yeah, like I've written on like a 25 key like little MIDI keyboard, and it's such a different like,
if I can't write if it doesn't have weighted keys. Like, the feel of weighted keys just makes the world of difference.
But yeah, going on to, you know, the EP, like obviously very different to As It Is, but obviously it's still, you know, written by you. Like, how did, you know, any As It Is fans that came along to listen to it like respond to it? You know, it's obviously been a while.
Yeah, no, it seemed to be pretty positive. I think at the end of the day, and like, again, I don't like to like discredit anyone or anything that I've done, but I've always been aware that there might be an element of like alienating people. Yeah, I'm not writing the same kind of stuff that I did in As It Is. But also, I think one thing that I've learned along the way is that, and it's been the same with me and other artists, is like, I mean, how old would you have been the first time I probably met you at a show? Like, people have grown up, you know, through, you know, I was in As It Is for like 8 years. That's a long period of time, and people have like changed. And I think we were very lucky to have a very open-minded audience that listened to a lot of genres of music. And I think that meant that it kind of was pretty well received. So, we did have a good a good, very open-minded fan base, and I was very grateful for that.
I certainly noticed a lot of people in some, as it is, Facebook groups that I'm in, like, you know, really hyping it up and being like, Ben's making music, and, you know, that was nice to see, even as an outsider.
Yeah. I'm not in any of those groups, but I don't think I ever was, actually. I think they're all pretty private. I mean, I'm not really a Facebook person, to be honest, so...
Yeah, I would very much like to get off it, but for things like this, it helps with the promotion.
Oh yeah, 100%. If I, you know, if it wasn't for being in a band or a musician or having to use Facebook Ad Center, like, I probably would not have it. So
going off on a tangent, but it's probably what's most annoying, like how interconnected Facebook is with like all of the different like social media platforms. Like, you know, if you want to use Instagram like for the ads and stuff, you know, it's all based into like Facebook's algorithm and stuff. You know, a Facebook ad shows up on Instagram and it's just like, all right, fine, I guess.
Yeah.
Going on to, you know, like, you've released these two things independently, Existential Meditation and, you know, Future stuff, as well as Learning to Cope with Nihilism. Like, how does that compare, you know, being the independent to, you know, being on the big scale of, you know, labels and stuff?
I enjoy the freedom of it. I say that, but we had the freedom with it before. Like, I guess what I miss the most is the budget, if I'm being completely honest, and just the promotion that you get from being on one of those labels. Like, you know, I don't have a manager, I don't have a PR team. Everything I just kind of put out. If I have some spare money, then I'll put a bit into some paid ad spend, because otherwise, you know, reach is terrible organically. So yeah, I miss that, and I would never rule out being on a label, but it would need to be right, because like I say, I like to do a mixture of like pre-planning campaigns. I like to drop things randomly out of nowhere. So as long as I have the freedom to kind of do that, I think also with the vast kind of genres that I do cover, it's be interesting to find a label that is happy with the kind of extreme ends of that. So yeah, for now, I just care about like making things that make me happy. At the moment, it's the only thing that is keeping me sane is making music. So however many people listen to it, I'm stoked on. Like, it's you know, it's naturally not as many as, you know, used to listen to as it is, but that's the way it goes, and I'm just happy anyone's listening. So
yeah, like getting those emails from Spotify at the end of the month saying your listenership like got 3 listeners, and I'm like, yay. Just, you know, the fact that someone took the time out of the day to just listen to, you know, 3 minutes of me playing bad guitar. So obviously we talked about this a little bit just before I went live with the recording, but obviously tour for the last year would have been completely written off, and you've always said, you know, you want to get a band together potentially for like live things and also doing shows yourself. Future touring plans are absolutely on the cards for Bleak Soul.
Yes, 100%. I just at the moment don't want to put the work in to book something that isn't going to happen, so I'm just gonna wait. And I know that there's going to be a serious backlog of tours anyway that are going to be coming through. So, you know, I've waited this long, I'm just going to be a bit patient. But yeah, I will be touring this eventually.
Yeah, I mean, the whole backlog thing, you know, I've had tickets for My Chem, I've had tickets for Shikari, I've had tickets for like Weezer, Fall Out Boy and Green Day since before anything started going down. And then, you know, I just view 2020 as the world not being able to handle My Chemical Romance being a thing again.
I've had the same thought. Yeah, I'll blame them.
Yeah, damn Gerard. And I've had a mind blank. I can't remember the Frank.
Ray.
Ray and...
Mikey,
yeah, there we go. Wow. My friend's going to kill me. She's an absolute MCR stan. On the touring thing, you know, would you see yourself touring solo, support, co-headliner?
A mixture. I'll definitely probably try and wangle some favors and get some support slots so that more people see me. But yeah, a mixture. Like I said, I think by the time I come to do shows, I'll have quite a lot of material out there in the world. So a lot of that will be well suited to just me and an acoustic guitar. As much as that fills me with absolute dread being on stage on my own, it is something that I want to do. So I think there'll be a mixture. There'll be acoustic tours. There'll be full band tours. There'll be headlines. I'll work out things with friends. And yeah, it'll be all over the place, I'm sure.
And you've not had the temptation to do a virtual gig over the last 12 months?
Do you know, I have wanted to. I planned to do one, and I never rearranged it, actually. I don't know. I will do one in the next couple of months. I need to, one, remember how to play any of my songs again. I'm really bad, especially at like writing songs and not writing down what they are. And they've got like a capo on the 7th fret, and I'm never going to remember that. And then it comes to learning them, like relearning them, and it's an absolute nightmare. I literally on one of the ones that's going to be coming out soon, like I basically just like looped it and just recorded a load of takes of this like this guitar solo and just improvised it and picked one, and because of that I have no idea how to play it. So
that's just going to tie into the having different live versions thing.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just going to be a bit of an improv section. So fortunately with Nihilism, as I said, it was written as an acoustic song, and as much as a bit of it's changed, I might actually, when I play that like live in an acoustic setting, I will probably play the original, even though the melody for the chorus is like substantially different. I'll probably still play that version. I think that's like a cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we all like our alternate versions and stuff.
Yes, I've done many in my time.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite version of Frank Carr and the Rattlesnakes' I Hate You is actually the live at Brixton version, but you know,
I can't say I've heard that version. My favorite live version of that song is my dad doing it at my sister's 18th birthday.
Really?
Yeah. My sister had her friend's band playing, and then my dad sang that one.
I would have loved to have been in the audience for that.
Yeah, it was interesting, to say the least.
I mean, fair play. Absolutely fair play.
You've got to respect it. It's
on the idea of having alternate versions and stuff, obviously you had like a brassy, obviously synth like sound that appeared on Existential Meditation. Is there any sort of like, you know, crazy, unexpected synthy thing coming in the future?
Yes. I'd actually say the next song that's coming out will take people by surprise. It's got a lot of really cool kind of glitchy electronic elements to it. Bit of vocoder. I love a bit of vocoder now. So I've been playing around with that. But because I studied like digital art and digital music and sound art at uni. So a lot of what I did was kind of a bit more soundtrack based or sounds, like doing soundscapes and stuff. And I'm trying to kind of incorporate a bit more of that atmospheric vibe into what I do now.
A lot less two guitars, a bass and drums, and a lot more, you know, even panning can sort of, you know, just have an effect on the atmosphere.
Yeah, I've got, there's a track on there, and one of the coolest parts on it is there are like two drum kits going, but like panned either side, and they're like ever so slightly out with each other. And doing like different fills, creating these like kind of like, they're not quite polyrhythms, but essentially different rhythmic things in each ear. And it sounds like, I don't know whether this is good, but I like it. So, and again, that was actually inspired by seeing, back in the day, when you could like them, Brand New had two drummers and two drum kits on stage. And I thought it was like the sickest thing. So I've always been like quite heavy with the percussion, as shown, I think, on quite a few existential meditation tracks. And so now I'm just, I really like percussion and adding, because drums is my first instrument that I ever learned. So I always have a soft spot in making sure that the drums are on point. I wish I had a drum. I wish I could fit a real drum kit in here. That's about the only thing that I'm missing. So
yeah, I'll make sure to listen to the future stuff with headphones for the first time as well, to try and hear the, you know, sort of polyrhythms.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Like, definitely not in mono.
The next album in general is definitely a, it's not a casual listening. I wouldn't say it has any like singles. So it is definitely a start to finish piece that deserves just like lights out, headphones on kind of vibe.
Well, in all honesty, that was how I, when the Great Depression first came out, I turned everything off and just sat there and listened to it from start to finish. Because one, music deserves the respect of the listener. Like, you know, in my opinion, like, you know, if you're listening to something for the first time, it deserves the attention. And, you know, the distractions can influence how you're feeling about it. So yeah, just turning everything off and listening through, you know, it's a completely different experience to, you know, the sheer 100%. The hubris of people that suggest listening to an album on shuffle for the first time, especially.
I'm very anti shuffle myself. I'm very old school like that. I've never listened really to like a playlist. I'm not really a playlist guy, and I don't put anything on shuffle. If I listen to music, I just put on an album and choose to listen to an album from start to finish. And Spotify culture has not changed my mind on that.
Yeah, it's one of my least favorite things about, you know, the accessibility of streaming is great. I can listen to an album without owning it in like the actual house, as much as, you know, I have a wall of music. You know, it's great to hear something new or just get recommendations, but, you know, the whole single, like, you know, one track is, you know, all you get of an artist on a playlist. No, it's not for me.
No, I'm very old school like that. You know, I still buy LPs and stuff and have a nice record player. And that's kind of, I like the experience of that, you know, taking it out, putting an album on, having the artwork there visible. I'm basically an old man like that.
You can still rock out and you can still enjoy things. And
Exactly. The old Gen Z is making me feel old.
Oh, believe me. Like, because obviously, songs coming out, like, I use DistroKid and it put my music on TikTok. And I was like,
yep. Yeah. It's funny, though, that's the new way, isn't it? Oh, got to make sure my music's on TikTok.
Yeah, just in case the kids, you know, start doing something and it goes viral and, you know, all of that.
I know. One day, have something go viral.
Right, so I'm going to do a quick fire round now. For the most part, it's two options and just say the first thing that comes to your head.
Okay, yeah, I know, I'm good. Let's go.
Okay, so seated or standing gigs?
Seated. I'm sorry. I've been, since about the age of 25, I've been going seated. So
Funeral for a Friend or The Blackout?
I love Sean Smith. He is a great dude that I consider a friend, but Funeral for a Friend.
MySpace or Tumblr?
MySpace, 100%. I had a Tumblr, but it was never, that was never my jam. I was an OG MySpace kid.
Song on repeat at the minute?
The Microphones in 2020 by The Microphones. Well, that's the 4-minute track that I was talking about earlier. So, it's a lot to dig into, but it's 100% worth it.
I'll make sure to check it out afterwards. bedroom, in inverted commas, or studio?
I am missing the studio at the moment. I will say that.
Spotify or Apple Music?
Apple Music.
Reading or Leeds?
Reading. 100%.
And then finally, Bleak Soul or Ben Langford Biss?
Bleak Soul. Bleak Soul has a bit more swagger and confidence, I think, than me.
Yeah. To kind of like round that off, do you have anything that you would like to plug?
I'm just going to plug, I've got a new song, Learning to Cope with Nihilism. I hope you go and check it out. I am going to have a new EP out very soon. So keep an eye on the internet on the 31st of March. You heard it here first. Ooh, there we go.
Exclusives. As much as we've trashed social media, if anyone wants to find you, you know, where do they go?
Yes. At Ben Langford Biss on the Instagrams and the Twitters. And then, yeah, just Bleak Soul on Facebook. But who, you know, if your dad or your mum wants to find me on Facebook, then yeah, just Bleak Soul. Yeah, that's where people can find me. I only really post on social media when I have something to promote, which means the algorithm hates me. But I'm not really a big life sharer on social media. So
yeah. Right, well, thank you for coming on my podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Fresh from the Scene with Ruby Price.
Thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed that, please do give it a share on social media and be sure to follow Ben and myself on social media. As I said, there's links in the description. Keep an eye out for that EP announcement Ben teased earlier in the show, and do go have a listen to his latest single, Learning to Cope with Nihilism. And if you are still listening, thank you very much, Ben, for coming on. It was a pleasure. And to the people who are listening, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.